This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. I mean, if you can't find this show, how many things can it be on? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. James Harden messed around and got a triple-double with 29 points. You know how I should start this segment? What's wrong with James Harden? James, why didn't you get a triple-double with 30 points? That's what you usually do. Should the Nets trade James Harden? Triple-double with under 30 points. But he got a mixed response from the fans in his return to Houston. You know, Rockets fans greeted him with, there were some cheers, but there were also some boos. You could hear it. Won the MVP with that team in 2017-18. And by the way, because of Daryl Morey and D'Antoni's philosophy and James Harden's play, they did something no one should have ever been able to do. Recall, when the Golden State Warriors won 73 games, they lost to the Cavs in the finals in Game 7 at Oracle. I was there. I didn't go as a member of the press. I sprung for tickets. I think I was about fifth row, center court. I knew, like, this is going to be something special. I'm spending for this. And I saw a Golden State Warriors team, the greatest half-court offense of all time till that point in history, and they didn't score for 4 minutes and 22 seconds. And that same team had beaten the Thunder team, which was loaded at Oracle in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals that year. I was there for that one, too. I knew that would be special. Every now and then, as a member of the media, I will go as a fan, spend my own money to go as a fan. I did that for Corrales Castillo in 2005 in Vegas. I just flew out to Vegas and watched it ringside because I knew it was going to be special. It was the greatest fight I've ever seen. Sometimes you just do that because you want to be there. So anyway, in 2000, so after the 16, when they lost to the Cavs at home, a 73-win team, and Kevin Durant came together and said, yo, neither one of us could get LeBron if he's crewed up by ourselves. What if we joined forces? What if a 73-win team replaced Harrison Barnes in a death lineup? Remember the death lineup, the original five-out small ball lineup? Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, Harrison Barnes, and Draymond Green. They replaced Harrison Barnes, who couldn't throw it in the ocean in Game 7, with Kevin Durant, a 73-win team, replaced the weakest link in the starting five with one of the best players who ever lived. Well, guess what happens at that point? No one has a prayer. LeBron knew going into those series. Even Kyrie and Kevin Love, they had no shot. LeBron would give quotes before the series, like basically acknowledging, we can't beat these guys. But guess what? James Harden led the Rockets. The second year KD was with the Warriors, James, and they were defending champs, James, and LeBron knew he didn't have a prayer. James Harden led the Rockets to the best record in the Western Conference. They hosted the Golden State Warriors in Game 7. And CP3 got hurt. So it was Harden without CP3 against the death squad with KD instead of Harrison Barnes. Okay? And guess what? The Rockets had the worst shooting night in the history of basketball. At one point, they were 0 for 27 from 3. And I blame Harden for choking, no doubt. But you mean to tell me you're playing the best team ever assembled, that not even LeBron James has a prayer to beat, even when he's crewed up? You take on a 73-win team that added Kevin Durant without really taking much away. And you mean to tell me you have the worst shooting night ever, and you're missing your second best player, and you only lose by single digits, and it's at home at a Game 7? You know, had they been healthy and just not choked that game, I think the Rockets win. And they were, like, it's not that the Warriors had a little more talent than them. They had so much more talent than the Rockets. They ought to be ashamed of themselves that it was even a seven-game series. But that was Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, and James Harden getting them there. Choked once he got there. I don't mince words, but no one, who else would have done that? Got them there in the first place. So Houston, you can focus on Harden blowing it, but LeBron couldn't take him seven games. And it's not like, you know, Harden didn't have CP3. LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love and couldn't take him seven games. Couldn't take him six games. So Harden returns. And for Tillman Fertitta, who smartly recognizes, okay, the Cowboys overshadow everything in this state. I mean, that must be the reason. Why aren't superstars forcing their way to Houston and Dallas? Warm weather city or state, no income tax state, large markets, relatively glamorous, more glamorous than most, well-run teams, successful teams. Tillman Fertitta realizes, I have to make this an attractive destination for superstars. I need to show the league how we treat our own. Even though, and he did this right after he gave Harden an enormous contract and Harden forced his way out of town by refusing to play like himself and demoralizing the team. But Fertitta, instead of holding that against him and playing, you know, like doing like a Dan Gilbert, he's like, no, watch this, everybody. We're retiring this dude's number. The fans should have been a little smarter than they were. You want to send a message to the league. We know how to treat superstars here. And I think there was a little too much booing. I understand why, but I didn't think it was wise. Here is James Harden at the press conference after the game.
I mean, once I get on that court, it's just trying to win. You know, I'm not really worried about anything else. So that was kind of, you know, my feeling. Win the game and do whatever it takes and do what you've been doing. Wasn't trying to show off. Wasn't trying to do anything out of the ordinary that I haven't been doing. Tonight I got a little, you know, carried away with some loose turnovers. But other than that, just playing my brand of basketball and the way we've been playing as a team, trying to get a win.
I got to say, he is showing off and he can't help it. When Harden plays basketball nowadays, he shows off. I never got the feeling watching Harden that I was watching the best player in the game. I never even got the feeling I was watching the best offensive player in the game, to tell you the truth. I thought Steph Curry was just better than Harden offensively. His, you know, the usage rate wasn't as high, but obviously a better shooter from anywhere on the floor, better handles. Ball didn't stick with him as much as with Harden. He moved it more willingly and earlier in the shot clock. He's just better than Harden offensively, Steph Curry. So I never even looked at Harden and felt, I never looked at Harden and felt like he's putting up numbers like Kobe in his prime or something. And so he's on Kobe's level. Never felt that about Harden. Felt he was a lot of years a top 5 to 8 player, because I look at defense too. So I figure he's usually top 5 offense, and also playing in D'Antoni's system. Like, put Steph Curry in D'Antoni's system. Are you kidding? Now, whether he could hold up to the pounding of a full season, you know, at the usage, but okay. I just never felt that way about Harden. I saw his game was fantastic all around, but when people were like, he's the greatest pure scorer ever. Well, in this NBA, Kevin Durant's better, Steph Curry's better, stop. And then the defense. But I have to tell you something. This year on the Nets, with my eyes are on Harden, it just gives me the feeling that I'm watching the best player in the NBA. Now, I think Embiid is winning the MVP race. I think LeBron is second. I think that Embiid and LeBron both play defense at a higher level than Harden, though Harden plays defense nowadays. But there's something about the way he's running the show in Brooklyn as the point guard that's just different right now. He's playing with a certain kind of confidence, and maybe it's because he believes in his teammates differently because he's with better teammates, but he's playing with a mastery. I said it the other day. He's like, he's got the glow like Shonuff in Last Dragon or Bruce Leroy. He's just reached a level of confidence with his play that's different. Paul Pierce, NBA analyst on the Jump and NBA Countdown and Hall of Famer and delusional player who believes he's better than Michael Jordan, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Hey, Paul, who's the greatest player of all time?
Paul Pierce. What do you think?
That's cool. I love this guy. I love this guy. You can't be the truth and say you're better than Michael Jordan. What?
I didn't say that.
Paul,
we talk about off the court or on the court.
Well, that's true. If you include off the court, maybe you are the greatest of all time. Paul, who's your first half MVP?
Joel Embiid right now, as of today. Did you see what he did last night?
Oof. He willed 40, that team.
19, overtime, got the win versus the hottest team in the league, the best record.
Joel, you know what's crazy, Paul? What's crazy about
against
that?
Against the perennial defensive player of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
What's crazy about that is Utah had the game. Like, they were controlling the game. It was a good game. At a certain point, you saw it in the fourth quarter. Embiid was like, I'm going to will my team right now. And there's nothing they could do. There's nothing they could do. And then he sends it to overtime with a run back three. Forget about a step back. He ran back for that three.
Yeah.
And then beats him in overtime. I thought you were going to say James Harden. And what's crazy is, for a guy who's missed a bunch of games with this team because he was on another team and who played his way out of that team to force his way to this one, I think Harden is a legit MVP candidate. But if I had to order him right now, I'd say Embiid 1, LeBron 2, Harden 3. What's your list?
I got Harden number 2 right now.
Over LeBron?
Yeah, I got Harden number 2. I mean, triple-double again last night. I mean, this guy is insane. Now he's leading the league in assists. He's capable of leading the – I mean, he's the glue to that team, Max. I mean, think about it. He hasn't even had Kyrie or KD, but only 7 games. And he's got the Nets a half a game behind first place Philly. I mean, and he's available. He's reliable. We all know the best ability is availability. He's durable. I mean, you can put this man on Mars, and he's going to get you a triple-W. I mean, come on.
I got to say, he, for the first time in his career, I was talking about it right before you were on the air with me, Paul Pierce, ESPN, NBA analyst and Basketball Hall of Famer. For the first time in his career, when my eyes are on him, I get the sense I'm watching the best player in the game. I never got that sense from him before. Like, even when he was scoring a lot, I'm like, yeah, but he's in D'Antoni's system. He doesn't shoot it as well as Steph. His handles aren't as good as Steph. The ball sticks with him more than with Steph. You know, he doesn't play defense. But now he does play defense. And now his mastery of the game and his court vision is like LeBron, only he shoots it better. Who is the MVP aside, if you had to say who the best player in basketball is, and I know we're not in the playoffs yet, and it's a whole different story.
Yeah.
He hasn't come through there. But regular season so far this year, is it same for you, Embiid, James Harden, LeBron? Is Harden the best player? How would you have it?
No, LeBron is the best player. I mean, you know, as much as we tend to doubt him, he hasn't won an MVP in, like, what, 8 years. He's still the best player because we know come playoff time,
that's the thing,
he's going to deliver. And he showed that a year ago when healthy, when the Lakers are healthy, that he's going to deliver. So he proved that a year ago. A lot of people were saying maybe it was Giannis because he's back-to-back MVP. You know, Harden's always in the MVP race. But until somebody knocks off LeBron off the pedestal, it's still him as the best player. Unfortunately, they don't give an award for best player. You know, they give an MVP award to a player that has the best year. But if they gave a best player award, he probably would have won it the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I wonder why is Harden choked in the playoffs so far? I have a theory. I want to see what you think as a, you know, top flight athlete, Hall of Fame athlete. My theory is this. Like in baseball, if you have a junk ball pitcher, he might get away with that in the regular season. He's crafty, he's smart, he's this, he's that. The teams don't prepare for him the same way. In the playoffs, it doesn't play. You better have the heat, right? So I look at the players in the clutch, the wings, who can really dominate in the playoffs in my lifetime. Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. And these dudes are they're the thoroughbreds. You know, they're not doing it with smoke and mirrors. And when I look at Harden, Harden's doing it a lot with his brain. You know, he's not running and flying the way these dudes are. Is that what it is? Is he just at an athletic disadvantage compared to guys like LeBron in the playoffs?
No, I mean, what you got to understand, Max, once you get in the playoffs, you're playing against the best. You know, it's like if you look at the regular season, think about this. When we look at contenders, you said there's probably like 5 contenders in the league out of 30 teams. Mm-hmm. And so you're saying there's like top flight defenses. And so you can get your numbers up against – you can feast on the rest of the league because I just remember if I had a bad night against a top contending team who had a great defense, I'm going to make that back up on this bad team. So the numbers is always going to be there. But right. When you get into the playoffs, you're playing against top flight defense every night. They all they doing day in and day out is studying your film, studying your movements, and it gets harder in the playoffs. So the numbers, I think, if James
But that's what I mean. But wait, but Paul Pierce, Paul. But that's what I'm saying. Jordan got better in the playoffs. LeBron gets better in the playoffs because you can study them all you want, but they run faster and jump higher than you. And Harden is not that dude. So what I'm saying is maybe when the teams have time to study him and the defenses get better, it's harder for him than it would be for someone like Kobe, you know, who's just more athletic. Is there something to that or no?
I don't think it has nothing to do with the athleticism, Max. I think it has more to do with your mental approach to it. I honestly do, because think about the things we call Harden. Arguably one of the greatest offensive players we've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's including Jordan. That's including Kobe. I mean, the numbers, it's in between the head. And just sometimes you got to look at him and you got to feel like he just sometimes looks mentally weak. At times, when it gets hard, you know, that's just.
Damn, I'm trying to give him. I'm trying to give him a pass, a way out. But the truth hurts. Oh, does it hurt?
No,
I've seen him do stuff. I agree with you. I've seen him do stuff like they could have stolen a game at Golden State a couple years ago, and it's like James was looking to jump under Draymond's legs to get a foul called instead of trying to can the shot. So he misses the shot and doesn't get the call. And then he dribbles out of bounds. And it's like some guys just need to be in that situation a bunch of times before they get comfortable. Do you think he can overcome that?
Yeah, I think he can recover from that. I mean, like you said, he's been in that situation. I think he's a smart enough player. He understands the moment. And look, he went to New Jersey because that's what he wanted. He went to Brooklyn because that's what he wanted. He wanted to be in the moment again. He wanted a better opportunity. And what better opportunity than he's ever had than right now with Kyrie and KD. But maybe he's proved that he might not be that guy, you know, and maybe he went there for that. That he can have some pressure.
Take some pressure taken off. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we have yet to see that. But, you know, we're going to find out a lot this year.
Paul, talking to Paul Pierce, the great Paul Pierce Hall of Famer, ESPN NBA analyst extraordinaire, of course, on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Paul, the more I watch this Nets team, I was not expecting them to get the defense together this quickly. The more I watch them, the more I'm scared for the Lakers, even with AD back. Because they're blowing the league. They went to the West Coast and went 5-0 on a trip without KD. Brother, without KD.
Yeah.
And KD, the thing that people sleep on is he turned into a great defender, an excellent passer, a guy who you don't need to run plays for to get 35 points. Like, what are even the Lakers going to do when KD gets back? Are the Nets already the team to beat?
No, it has to go to the Lakers because, I mean, they've been there. This team hasn't been there. Yeah, Kyrie's won a championship with LeBron. KD's won with Steph. Harden hasn't been there. You know, he hasn't gotten over the hump yet. But this Laker team, man, when they get healthy, that's the wild card. AD, man, who they going to put on AD?
You're going to put
KD on him? He can neutralize KD. You know, they can cancel each other out. Harden and LeBron are probably going to cancel each other out. You know, Kyrie could be the wild card, but, you know, who knows? But I just still think the Lakers, because they've been in the moment, that they still have the advantage.
Fizdale told me, Paul, the other day? I thought it was a real good point about the Lakers. The matchup problems that LeBron and AD create are such that, like, you look at a team like Utah and you say, take a guy like Royce O'Neal, you go, boy, man, that's a great defender, versatile, he's really good. He can actually defend multiple positions at a very high level. He's not big enough for those dudes. You need, like, two or three or four defenders who can defend between 6'8 and 7 feet at an elite level. Like, who has that?
No, nobody. I mean, the only one, the Clippers. You know, you got two guys, that's it. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. That's
right, and Ibaka. Ibaka can defend.
And Ibaka, and Ibaka.
Yep. And by the way, Nick Batum with a nice little late career comeback, Paul.
Yeah, and saying all that, that's the only threat I feel like. They're a bigger threat to the Lakers, if healthy, than the Brooklyn Nets, I believe.
Paul, when am I going to get you on – on Max on Boxing for a Ballers on Brawlers segment?
Oh, man, you know I'm always ready to talk some boxing with you, man. Oh, man, did they sign that Fury deal? Is he fighting Joshua?
Yeah, well, they're supposed to fight overseas. We'll see. I hope if it lands overseas, it's not in, like, Saudi Arabia, but in Wembley Stadium where it belongs, you know? 110,000 for the heavyweight championship of the world. Paul Pierce is coming on Max on Boxing. We'll do a whole on Brawlers. You will get Jalen. We'll have a whole thing. I'm on.
It.
All right, perfect, perfect. Maybe Ryan Clark, the fight fans. The great Paul Pierce, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming on, Paul. Always appreciate it. Truth,
always,
join me.
Max, anytime.
Thank you, brother. Truth, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Goodyear, celebrating March deal days with month-long service and savings. Visit GoodyearAutoservice.com for offers. By the way, I should have told the story about the time I ran into Paul Pierce in Vegas. Years, this is going back years. I will tell it the next time Paul Pierce comes on the air. How's that for a tease? Everyone's talking about the top money Dak can demand. You know what no one's asking? Is he going to be 100%? I'm going to ask an orthopedic surgeon about Dak Prescott's health. Next, finding great candidates to hire can be like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope for the right person. That person just happens to come along, right? Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter instead. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply for your job. It's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MAX.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Got some thoughts on Derek Carr and the Raiders coming up later. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders. Raiders are still one of the biggest sports franchises in L.A. You know, not even quiet as kept. Like, everyone knows it. You talk about sports franchises in L.A., Lakers are 1 through 10. Like, Lakers are in a class by themselves. And then after the Lakers, I'd say, are the Dodgers. And then, well, I mean, in recent years, it's been different. But, you know, historically, obviously, Trojans football, Bruins basketball. Are the Rams bigger than the Raiders in L.A.? And they're in Vegas now, and they've been in Northern California? Derek Carr, it's a glamour spot, man. It's a glamour spot. That's why, well, we're going to get into it in a second. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Dr. Clapper, orthopedic surgeon, ESPN LA radio host, weekend warrior. Boy, if he pays to have Dr. Clapper as a friend, I'll tell you what, no matter what's happening, Dr. Clapper knows what to tell you. Doctor, are you there? There's the good doctor. Yes.
I'm doing great, Max, and I want everybody to know they may call Paul Pierce the truth, but when it comes to sports radio, Max Kellerman tells the truth.
That's right. I tell the truth, except when I used to lie on New York radio about Eddie Curry, apparently. People have found that out, Doc. We're not going to talk about that, really. Hey, I, the reason I really wanted to have you on today, Doc, is I have a specific question. I mean, a bunch of them, but one in particular.
Yes.
Everyone's assuming Dak Prescott is, okay, now Dak's back, he's going to get this big contract and this and that. But I wanted to hear from you. Is it a foregone conclusion he's going to be okay? What are the risks involved? Like, is he coming back 100%?
The best way to answer that, and I owe you this, because 10 years ago, if it wasn't for you, I would never have come up with Clapper Vision, so that people understand why what I'm about to say makes sense. It was thanks to you and Max Marcellus.
Forget about Marcellus. It's all me. Go ahead.
That's exactly right.
That's
so
right.
I want you to remember the day when you had a car here in California, maybe in New York you don't have to have it anymore, and you pulled your car into the garage, a rectangular structure, 2 walls and a ceiling. You pull your car into the garage. I want you to think the car is the talus bone, the ball and socket joint of the ankle, and what's above the shin bone, the tibia and the fibula, is the wall and the ceiling of the garage. So the talus is the ball of the ball and socket joint of your ankle. An earthquake now has occurred and rotated your car inside the garage, okay? Mm. That's Dak Prescott planting his right foot on the turf. Nobody tackled him yet. He plants his foot and rotates the car inside the garage. Guess what happens? The front of the car breaks the wall. That's the fractured fibula that needs surgery to fix with plates and screws. But don't forget the rear of the car. The other end of the car didn't break the front of the garage because you're pulling headway, but it actually bends the beam in front of the garage. It bends the beam. So the initial surgery for Dak Prescott was to fix the fracture, which was the wall that broke because the front of the car busted it. This latest surgery he had was to actually tighten up and straighten the beam in the front. Mm-hmm. When you worry, Max, will he come back? Just remember one thing, Gordon Hayward. Mm-hmm. It's a similar injury, and I expect Dak Prescott to be back.
Okay, that's good, although it took Gordon Hayward, as normally it does with these kind of catastrophic injuries, like a year to get back, and then another year to get back to what he was, you know? Do you expect
Yes.
Dak to take another year to kind of get back to pre-injury levels, or do you think it's possible he gets back there right away?
Nobody really knows, but you know how you and I always talk about the psychological aspects of injury that is never talked about enough? Everybody gave Derrick Rose such a hard time. Why isn't he coming back quicker? Because when a non-contact injury occurs, it's true later the giant player tackled Dak Prescott, but this injury occurred when he planted his foot. Nobody touched him and dislocated his ankle. I believe that plays a huge role in recovery, whether it's with contact or without.
Trusting it,
I think
trusting it.
Structurally, he'll be ready to come back, Max. I think he'll be back for training camp. The fine-tuning, you're absolutely right, will take more time. But I really expect him to be back, and the Cowboys better sign him.
How worried am I supposed to be about AD right now, Doc?
All right, so you're ready for another clapper vision? Because I don't think people really understand what tendinosis really means. What the hell are the doctors talking about when you say Achilles tendinosis? So I have a Max Kellerman clapper version.
Okay.
I want you to think of a mop. You know, you and I are Jewish. We probably have never picked up a mop in our life. But think about a mop with a stick, the handle, and then the thin strands at
is
the other end.
Is that what that thing's called?
Exactly.
The floppy broom, I always call it. Okay, it's called a mop. All right, go ahead.
So it's a mop with strings at the other end. So I want you to have the top of the mop where the wood is attached to the back of your thigh bone, because that's actually where the gastroc muscle attaches to the back of the femur, the back of the thigh, and it crosses the back of the knee joint. The second muscle that makes up the calf muscle, and this is relevant for Anthony Davis because he has a strain to those calf muscles, it doesn't come from where the gastroc came from. It comes from the back of the tibia and fibula below the knee joint. That's the top of the wooden handle of the mop. And as it comes down the back of your knee, we see the tendon, which are those strings, those strands that are thin, attaching to the heel bone to allow you to jump and allow you to land. Mm-hmm. Achilles tendinosis means that the strings, which are thin, now are swollen. They're thicker with scar, with injury. That's what we see on the MRI. The Achilles strain, which is what showed up on the second MRI he had from the other injury, is what we are worried about now. But here, Max Kellerman, is what I'm really worried about. We rely on the player to tell us that they feel okay. Does this hurt? We squeeze it. Does it hurt when I do that? There's feedback to the player of how they're doing. Anthony Davis told everyone that he felt good. God bless him. We love Anthony Davis. I'm okay to go, coach. Let me go back and play. And he goes and plays a second time, thinking that he's okay. And what do we learn with the second MRI? That he still has the tendinosis and now has a new muscle strain.
Oh, boy.
And that tells me, as an orthopedic surgeon, I can't rely on asking you, how do you feel? Forget about what the MRI says. If you lose that reliability, that in touch with your body, that's the part about
well,
this.
I think that's a really good point. I think AD is probably under pressure to play more. Like, oh, you're injury prone. You got to be mentally tough. Look, LeBron's so much older than you, and he's playing every game until recently. Missed one game. And right, so I don't know if he's not in touch with his body, Doc, or if there's a culture that tells him don't admit it when you're hurt. So that's great stuff from Dr. Clapper, as always, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Clapper, and you can hear him on ESPN LA Radio. He's host of Weekend Warrior. He just joined me on the Goodyear Hotline. That worries me about AD. Now I'm worried about AD. AD, you just got to tell the truth about if it hurts. Don't worry about not being called a tough guy. We need you back healthy. And Larry, are the Raiders about to be all in on Russell Wilson? The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Raiders all in on Russell Wilson?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. L.A., now you're worried about AD? You heard what Dr. Clapper said? Can't trust what he's saying. They rely on AD saying, hey, how do you feel? I feel good. And it turns out he maybe didn't feel so good. Come on, AD. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's last take.
And just to finish the thought on AD before I get to Russell Wilson. I know it's hard for athletes to judge all the time. Like, wait, am I making too big a deal out of this? Is this pain or is this an injury? That I get it's hard, but boy, they better be super careful with AD right now. I'm nervous. Derek Carr's name has cropped up in trade rumors. You know, it does annually around this time, ever since John Gruden took the Raiders head coaching job in 2018. And, of course, the issue now is Russell Wilson expressed through his agent on the record to Adam Schefter that Vegas, that the Raiders are one of four preferred destinations for Russell Wilson in a trade. Here's Mike Mayock, the Raiders GM, at a press conference discussing Derek Carr.
I think Derek Carr had his best year yet under John Gruden. I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, and we couldn't be happier with him. I mean, we evaluate every position every year. I think John and I would both stand shoulder to shoulder and pound the table for Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr has earned a lot of respect around this league from an awful lot of people.
I agree with that, actually. I wouldn't say he's a top quarterback, not top 10, but top 15. He's a solid NFL starter with upside. You know, he hasn't consistently been excellent year in and year out to say he's a top quarterback, but he had a good year, real good year. And, you know, I understand what Mike Mayock's saying. Here's the problem. The Raiders are stuck in neutral. Every year you think that, remember, going back already 6-7 years, they went undefeated in the division, but only 8-8 overall, and you thought maybe this means they're about to take the next step. Then they had that year early on in Carr's career where he looked like maybe he's going to be, maybe other than Andrew Luck, he's the best young quarterback, something like that. And it looks like they're going to take the next step. Oh, look at that offensive line. And something always happens where by the end of the year you go, oh, look at that. That's not as good a record. They're not that good. They're okay. They're like an average NFL team. If you have a chance to grab Russell Wilson while he's still in his prime, I don't see how you say no. And by the way, Derek Carr's trade value because of what Mike Mayock said, right? Because it's true. If you get a second and a third, and the second could turn into a conditional second to turn into a first for Carson Wentz, then you're going to get a first and something for Derek Carr. You can flip that with another first and something else, wind up with Russell Wilson. I think you have to take that shot if you're the Raiders. Philip in San Antonio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's up, Max?
Go ahead, Philip.
So I heard, earlier about you and Paul Pierce. Y'all were talking about, you know, the league MVP, and I heard Paul Pierce say that he's going with Joel Embiid, and he thinks Joel Embiid is the first half MVP.
Yep.
I think, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that because of how inconsistent the 76ers are. I think
Embiid on the floor. With Embiid on the floor, they've been beating everybody. Like, I hear what you're saying. The Nets are on a ridiculous roll, and I get it. I think Harden's played so well with the Nets. He's in the conversation. But the Sixers are hardly ever lose when Embiid is on the floor. He's a great two-way player. And by the way, I've thought Embiid's been the MVP wire to wire. I think second place is LeBron. And I think Harden at this place has probably played his way into third. By the way, you got to shout out Steph Curry. You got to talk about Giannis now. Kawhi the whole time really has been excellent and flying under the radar. And Damian Lillard. Aaron from California, 30 seconds. Go.
Hey, what's up, Max? Thanks for taking my call.
Good.
I want to talk about James Harden and how I – something to go with, like, Charles Barkley said a couple of years back, essentially how when he was in Philadelphia, he would score 34 points tonight, but it was the hardest 34, and he'd be exhausted after the end of the game. Then when he got traded to the Suns, he was getting about 28 tonight, and he was going to the locker room like, this is the easiest 28 I've ever scored. And if you watch Harden right now, it's the same situation. He's just getting, letting the game come to him. He's not forcing any shots. In the playoffs, he used to force all kinds of shots in in Houston.
You're right. He has teammates who, by the way, even without KD there, Joe Harris, one of the best shooters in the league. TLC can play. He's got a crew. Going to do my NBA halfway point award show tomorrow, Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.